Hello, folks. TFG on Mike here. Before we get into the interview with Britta Phillips, I just want to let everyone know we recorded this before we recorded episode 23 of Showtime Synergy, which is the truly outrageous top 30 gem countdown. So in this interview, I do say to her, we're going to be recording the countdown when essentially we've already recorded it and released it. The reason why the Britta Phillips interview is so late is because she wanted it to coincide with her announcement of her new album, which we have details about later in the interview. So that's why you're going to hear something about the countdown, which the countdown's already out. Anyway, Britta Phillips, singing voice of Jem, truly outrageous, TFG on Mike. Talk to you later.
Britta Phillips here, and you are listening to Showtime Synergy with Mike, Amy, and Nicole.
Hello and welcome to Showtime Synergy. I am one of your hosts, TFG on Mike. Joining me is Lady Rec. Hello.
Hello.
And Nicole, Beatles, Diva, Hailstorm. How many names do you have now?
I go by many names.
Yeah. Just say hey you, she'll answer by it.
Yeah.
Hey you in the green wig.
My wigs change often.
Yes, they do. So in this latest Showtime Synergy interview, we welcome for the first time ever on the Geekastery Network the singing voice of Jem. We had the speaking voice late earlier. Oh, man. I almost said later this year. Earlier last year. But we welcome the singing voice of Jem, Britta Phillips. Yay!
Yay! Hi. Yay! Thank you. Hello.
How are you, Britta?
I'm great.
That's awesome.
I'm glad to be here.
We are glad to have you. Before we get started, is there anything that you can give us the scoop on and what's going on in the world of Britta Phillips? Any upcoming projects that you can reveal?
Well, I can reveal. The main thing is that I've just done a solo album. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I've just done a solo album. I can't tell you when it's going to be released because I have to wait till the end of the month to talk about that.
Oh.
But so that's the main thing. And what else? I have a vinyl 7-inch split single with my husband Dean that's out on the Great Pop Supplement. And the other thing that's out right now that we've just worked on together is the score for this movie, Mistress America.
I've been listening to that throughout.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool.
That's got some good stuff on it.
Yeah.
You guys have done several other soundtracks. Well,
you
did The Squid and the Whale. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was really good as well. So.
Totally different, yeah. That was like super mellow and sparse, and this is like bubbling 80s pop. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does your husband feel about you doing a solo album, though?
Oh, great. He did one a year ago or so.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's my turn.
Yay! Awesome.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
He plays on it as well. As I played on this.
Oh,
his.
Good.
It's still both of us. It's just
it's
I'm
just
doing
your
all the
soul.
Singing and I wrote.
Yeah, you're doing all the singing.
Yeah.
All right, so where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pennsylvania, kind of all over the east coast of Pennsylvania. Bucks County to the Poconos to Philly. Yeah.
Awesome. So you're used to the East Coast weather.
Oh, yeah. Although I'm quickly forgetting about it because I've been in LA for almost 3 years.
Yeah, that'll happen when you. Yeah.
But you know, I still go on tour, so I, you know, I travel. I get hit with cold.
It's not fun. I'm in the cold right now. It's not fun.
No, I don't miss it at all. I even get cold in LA, which is ridiculous. So
you're climatized.
Yeah. Becoming a hothouse flower.
So what got you interested in singing? Where did it all start?
It all started at home with my mom and my sister. My mom sang and played piano and guitar, and we were always just learning songs together and singing in three-part harmony and stuff like that. So, and I was in the chorus in school. Yeah, so I always sang. I didn't know I could sing really high and loud, though, until I started driving.
Nice.
And I was like, whoa, because I was pretty shy. But in the car, I was like, okay, I want to be a singer. So
That's where it all started.
Yeah, in the car, alone.
What kind of car did you drive?
I had a VW Bug.
Oh, my gosh, Mom, it's my first car.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a 68 Robin's Egg Blue VW Bug. It was adorable. Until
that's sweet.
I blew it up, though, because nobody told me I had to change the oil or add oil.
Oh, no.
So
it just burst into flames one day.
She blew up Shattered Glass Bumblebee.
I had a 64 Super Beetle.
Oh,
bright yellow.
Nice.
I loved it.
Nice.
Love that car.
So cool. Yeah.
So, who were some of your influences growing up music wise?
Growing up, wow, let me think for a sec. So many. Like, I grew up on just AM radio, pop. So, you know, Elton John, Captain and Tennille.
Right.
And,
there's nothing wrong with Muskrat Love, really.
I didn't love that one. Didn't love that one. I just liked the first single. But yeah, Motown, and but then, you know, as a teenager, that'll change. I was into just rock, classic rock, and disco. Donna Summer, Saturday Night Fever.
Nice.
And then Blondie, of course. Blondie was was a big one.
Love
Blondie. And then Madonna. So.
Awesome.
Madonna's amazing, too. Good 80s stuff.
Yeah. All the obvious big stuff. Michael Jackson, Prince.
So why did you start playing guitar? What was that? Why was that your instrument of choice?
I didn't really know how to play guitar until I was in this movie Satisfaction, which happened. Oh. That happened like the last year of the last year of Gem. I got a part in this movie, and they gave me the guitar lessons. So I had to learn how to play Satisfaction.
Oh, cool!
And some other songs. I mean, I kind of played a little bit, but not much, yeah. And then...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's such an awesome start, though. That's, you know, that's where you learn.
It sounds very glamorous.
And to have that as your first song, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
So getting into the cartoon here for Gem and the Holograms, take it away, Amy.
Oh, yeah. How did you become the singing voice of Gem?
Well, my dad was a musician. He's a session mm-hmm. player. He played piano, and he'd done a session and heard his friend who wrote music for commercials and stuff heard about this show where they were looking for a young singer who was not, you know, like a session singer. They wanted a mm-hmm. young rock singer. And it's funny because my dad is really shy and not pushy, but he was like, shoved them my demo cassette and my little headshot, and was like, this is my daughter, sounds like she might be good. So yeah, they gave me a call and I auditioned, and then as I always say, my audition ended up being the theme song.
Awesome.
Yeah, I heard that before. And weren't you sick that day?
Yes, I had a cold. But I kind of like the way it sounds when people have colds when they sing. It has a different tone. But that's what I always hear when I hear the theme song. It's just slight congestion.
Well, I think it sounds amazing. So.
Yeah, it's good. It all worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's good, though. Even though you had a cold, that it still carried really well. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It
Some people get
out.
Colds and they can't sing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm lucky. My voice doesn't really quit. So that's lucky.
That's awesome.
Not yet.
You are
not
lucky.
So far.
So when you were recording for Jim, was there a recording session that particularly stands out as a favorite or a session from hell?
I didn't have any hell sessions, really. I was always so excited and that, you know, because I was being hired. As a young person, to be hired as a singer after I'd moved to New York City to become a singer, it's like a dream, you know? So, the only difficult parts once in a while were hitting those really high notes. And once they realized I could belt out high notes, they were just forever seeing how high I could go.
They were testing your limits, huh?
Let's see. Kenji hit in high G and high A. And
Wow, that's getting up there.
Yeah. So, yes, I would. You know, they would just pep talk me and I'd take some water and they'd tell me to bend over and let all the blood rush to my vocal cords. And there was athletic training to hit those super, super high.
Yeah, I've done some vocal training before too. If people would see the behind the scenes of what you had to do to warm up and stuff, it's like a scene from like a horror film. You know?
Oh, the sounds one missed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're gonna be recording one of our episodes. It's gonna be our favorite Jim songs from the show. Can you mention what some of your favorites were to record?
Well, the ones that just stand out to me over time are like Only the Beginning, because that was in the beginning. That was probably like When She's Got the Power. Those were really exciting early ones. Like a Dream, Only Me and the Music.
Mm-hmm.
They have some high notes in them, those. Okay. Yeah. There's probably more. I mean, there are a lot of really fun songs to sing, but
I know I catch myself singing some of them too.
Yeah,
it's a running gag on this show, and it's all Amy's fault, actually.
Everything's Amy's fault.
Everything's either Amy or Nicole's fault most of the time. Most of the time, it is.
Because
let's face it, you are the misfits. but when we got to the episode Hot Time in Hawaii, Amy just kept singing that song over and over again, and obviously that isn't one of yours. That's one of the Misfits songs.
Okay.
But we always reference Misfits in Hawaii.
It's oh, really catchy.
God.
What can I say?
That song.
How does it go? Hot Time
Misfits
in Hawaii.
No,
don't even start.
Well, there was a lot of talented musicians on the show. Did you ever play with them after the show ended?
No. In fact, the only musician I ever saw who played on the show was my dad. He played on everything, but I was not at the recording sessions. I mean, sometimes I probably came in and on a session he was doing, but at the end maybe. But yeah, everything's very separate.
So you didn't stay in touch with any of the cast afterwards?
I never, I would run into the Misfit, the same women who sang the Misfits also sang the Holograms. and I would run into Ellen, who is Pizzazz, her voice, because I know her and Anne, but the others I never saw after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is a different reality than what I'm picturing.
And they were like,
breaking
they
down
were
those
older.
Walls.
They were older than I was, so I didn't really, it was like, yeah, I don't want to hang. I was like 20 and just behaving badly and going out and getting drunk all night. So I'm sure we were not really in the same worlds.
In that vein, what memorable experiences do you have working on Gem? Because it sounds like to me that yours were completely different than other individuals. Yours was very unique.
Yeah, I mean, mine was just solo. I was always alone with Anne and Ford. And they would, I don't know if I have anyone, all I can say is that really, I just remember going in, they would sing me the song on the piano, and then we'd have fun recording it, and would just bang it out in like an hour for a song, if at most.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, did you ever have a feeling while working on it that it was be as big as it came out to be?
No way. I mean, there were some articles that came out in the paper. My dad would always send them to me, you know, saying about Gem, you know, oh, if Gem were a singer, she'd be a platinum selling. And so I knew the show was doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, compared to how it's been in my life, you know, since then, I had no idea. I just thought it would come and go. And I never thought about these kids who are watching it growing up and remembering it or caring, you know? So that's amazing.
We were those kids.
Yes.
Yeah, we were.
So cool. Because I mean, the only kids I saw then, I had a little brother who was like 5. And so when I would visit him and his little friends were around, they just thought I was super cool. And that was my only taste of it back then. But I just didn't imagine people would remember or think about it after they've grown up, and that's really cool.
Awesome.
What was the recording schedule like for Jim? Did you guys do the whole season together, or was it a week-to-week recording, or how did the song recordings end up going?
It seemed like they would just get the scripts in, and so that they knew what was going on in the show and the lyrics. And this is Anne Bryan and Ford Kinder, and then they'd write the music. So I seem to remember it being like every week or every couple of weeks. So it was definitely spread out while they were in real time, not all at once. And
so
then
when
we
you
did
got
the
all of.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Then
Sorry.
we would record the songs, and then they'd send it to. Well, maybe they were doing the voices and the songs at the same time. All the music was in New York, and the acting was in L.A., and then they'd send that off to be animated last.
Gotcha. So when you would get together, like, with all of the cast, like, say that, because there were several songs where we had the Misfits and the Stingers. So when you got all together, what were the recording sessions like? Or did you only, because, like, later on in the show, you had a group of people, like when you'd sing together, you'd have all of them together. So I'm wondering, would you record those tracks separate or together?
I think I only sang with the group once because I was, and that was like at the end of the sessions. I know it's so sad. I'm so sorry to break.
Oh
it
no,
to
it's
you.
Okay.
Oh, don't worry.
This is fantastic. We were asking questions for it.
Yeah. No, it's so they do that often with. You know, cart animated stuff. They just record everybody separately so they can control the voice mixes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't really, I never met the Stingers. Oh. Oh yeah. So only I didn't meet the Misfits, but that was it.
So you were real, like you said, you were really young when you worked on Gem. How did working on Gem influence the rest of your future career?
Oh, well, it gave me a lot of experience. I mean, that was probably the most important, like just having to be professional and confident in the studio. That experience is really, that gave me the confidence to continue.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you have your dad to thank for it. I think that's just so cool.
Yeah.
Your dad's the one that pushed it.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah. He did, and that's really not his character either. So he was just like, he really put it out there.
Well, but right. Your dad, I mean, your dad, though, was he an in-studio musician, did you say?
Yeah, or... I mean, he started out as a jazz musician. He played on a Herbie Hancock album.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he played, like, bass trombone jazz. And then he switched to piano and did Jesus Christ Superstar on Broadway and did a lot of Broadway stuff and then ended up doing commercial sessions, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
Very cool. So last year, IDW launched the first ever ongoing Gem comic. Now, I know you teamed up with Samantha Newark to do a signing for it. What was that like, and have you read the comic at all?
I haven't read the comic because they were supposed to let me have one, and they forgot to put my extra one in there. So I went and signed all of them and sent them off and never got to read it. But I did read a great article about it in The New Yorker. Did you read that? It was like a really awesome review.
Oh, no, I haven't read that. I
must have missed that one.
That was The New Yorker online. Yeah, so I'm excited to read it because it sounds great.
Oh, it's awesome. Awesome comic.
Yeah. I've mostly read reviews of the comic in comic circles, but not The New Yorker. So
yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. So
see if I can find it if it's online.
I will. I'll buy one.
Well, the first trade is out now. The Showtime trade that collects the first six issues is out now. And
yep.
I think the next trade will probably be 7 to 10. As far as I know. So let's go behind the scenes, Amy.
You've done some voice acting. Do you have any upcoming projects?
Voice acting projects? No,
yeah.
I'm afraid. I wish I did. I love doing those. The Moral Oral and Mary Shelley's Frankenhole are the two that I've done on Adult Swim.
Moral Oral is hilarious.
Yes, I love
oh
that
gosh.
Show. I love it so much. It's so
such,
crazy.
It's so different when you first watch it. You're just like, what? But I love it. It's funny.
Yeah, it's super funny. And then, you know, I don't know if you got to season three, but season three gets pretty dark and real.
I got dark, but yes, that's true.
It gets like, the guy is a friend of mine who created the show, Dino. And like by season three, he was trying to do a Cassavetes movie and stop animation. It was just nuts. But we actually, for those shows, we all read together around a table, which is like unheard of for animation or stop animation shows because they don't ever want anyone talking over each other. But it was so much fun because really you just have to, you cry to stop from laughing so that you don't laugh all over somebody's lines. But it's just the most fun. Yeah.
And you said the creator's your friend. How did he come up with that show?
He told me this show was originally a TV show he wrote for Iggy Pop to be in.
Oh.
And
okay.
And Iggy Pop was going to be like this adult who was a kid somehow. I can't remember exactly. But then he met with Iggy in New York City, and Iggy was, he was very flattered, but just not really into it.
Oh, dang
so,
it.
He held on to it, and then he just rewrote it with this, the Christianity, which becomes all of it, really, and did a stop animation, yeah.
That's cool. Well, you play both guitar and bass. Now, which do you prefer?
Oh, bass. I'm a bass player now. I'm not really a guitar player. I mean, I do play some guitar on my album, but I'm not as comfortable or confident on that instrument as bass now. I've been playing bass now since the 90s, so that's my main instrument.
Nice. Oh, cool. And of which of your songs that you have written or performed would you say has the most meaning to you?
Ooh. Well.
Because you've been in a lot of different bands and you're working with your husband. Now you got a solo.
Yeah, I would have to say I haven't performed it live yet, but I would say one of the songs one of my original songs on my solo album.
Probably. I cannot wait for this. You say talk about it at the end of the month, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
Maybe I'll just hold on to the interview until the end of the month, and you can just tell us now anyway.
You promise? If you can wait to air this till, you know, the 27th, I can tell you.
We usually do it on Fridays, but that'll be the 29th.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah, or the Friday, whatever. Friday's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay,
detail. Okay, so, yeah, I have this album, and it's called Luck or Magic, and it's going to be released April 29th, and I'm so excited.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
I'm announcing in January 27th, and I'll release a song just like for streaming. And if anyone wants to pre-order the album, they get the song. And then I'll put the video out there a week or so later, and then probably another song for radio single. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
How many total tracks are there?
Oh, there are 10 tracks, and there are 5 original songs that I wrote and 5 covers.
What are the covers?
Well, there are 2.
Only the beginning.
I'm covering the song Drive by The Cars.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, sweet.
And Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. These are both
cool
songs that were suggested to me by my producer at the time, like that I never would have thought to do because they're so huge.
Yeah.
But they came out great. And the other 3 are pretty obscure. One's called One Fine Summer Morning by Evie Sands, and that's from like 1969. And one is Fallen in Love by Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Nice.
And what's the last one? Oh, Wrap Your Arms Around Me was Agnetha from ABBA's on her first solo, English language solo album in 1983.
Oh, cool. So, that's going to be great.
A friend of mine had suggested that. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Look forward to listening to that.
And
I'm doing a bunch of videos too. I mean, I'm hoping to have at least like 5 or 6 videos. So, that'll be cool.
Awesome.
Where would you premiere the videos at? Are they going to be on YouTube or?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first one will probably come out. You know, I'll just do an exclusive release. I don't know. We'll see if we can get somebody big to host that, like NPR or the New York Times or something. I don't know.
That's cool.
Too bad TRL isn't still relevant. Total Request Live with Carson Daly.
Yeah, dang it.
Oh, wow.
Will you be doing any tours? Oh, sorry.
I'm going to do some live performances. I'm definitely going to like have 3 or 4 songs that I'll perform either in stores or radio and locally here and up the West Coast probably. And I also want to open some shows for Luna. So when Luna does some more shows next year,
So you're getting back together with Luna?
Yeah, actually, Luna's been together since last March. We started our 10-year reunion in March, and we did a whole tour of the country and Spain and the UK and Australia.
I thought your last album was 2012. Was it 2012?
No. The last Luna album was 2005.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
We had a 10-year hiatus. Maybe you're thinking of my husband's album, Dean's album.
Maybe that's what I think of.
Yeah. It sounds very Luna, his album. So, we've been doing Luna tours, and that's been really exciting. We just played New Year's Eve in San Francisco and Oakland. Awesome. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
great.
Have you ever been able to meet or work with any of your musical influences? Like any of the ones that you named earlier before?
I've never met Madonna.
Yeah.
But I did meet Deborah Harry because she was in Satisfaction.
Oh, my gosh. How cool is that?
I know.
That woman is awesome.
She is so cool and just amazing, beautiful, and down to earth and really funny. I mean, I hardly could speak to her, but we were in a group, so I just stared at her but she's very cool.
I probably would have done the same thing, be like, oh, you know who you are?
Sounds like the fan thing to do. Yeah.
And the same thing, like when I met Lou Reed and Laurie Anderson, I couldn't really speak, but my husband knows him a bit, so I just stood around and stared at him while they chatted. He came to a show, because we did this Warhol screen test show, where we performed with Andy Warhol's screen tests from the mid-60s, and Lou Reed was one of them, so... He came to our show at the Lincoln Center, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Who else? I met Keith Richards once.
Oh, cool.
That was pretty cool. I was actually, for like 5 minutes, I was in a band with Steve Jordan, who produced his solo album. And Steve Jordan's a drummer, and he took me up to the studio to meet Keith in like 1988 when he was working on his first solo album. And he showed me some open tuning guitar chords.
Oh, so you actually got a lesson from him? How cool.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool. And he was very cool. I'm trying to think. There are probably more, but I can't. Yeah.
Well, I have an odd question for you.
Sure.
So have you
Nicole's
named...
very odd.
Yeah. Have you named any your instruments?
Have I named any of them? No, yeah. But I should. I love them like people.
Yeah, like BB had Lucille, you know?
Oh, yeah, no. I have this white Mustang guitar, bass guitar of mine. It's just my favorite. I should name her.
Yeah, for sure. And one last really odd question for me. Nothing to do with whatever we talked about.
Okay.
Questions. If you could have a melee weapon of your choice, what would it be?
A what?
A melee weapon, a hand weapon.
Oh, a hand weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, not like a gun, like a...
But like a mace or sword.
Oh,
knife,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or an
okay,
axe.
Yeah.
Or a hook. Let me think.
We apologize for Nicole.
Yeah.
I think probably a long sword.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's the classic.
Yeah. Because I have shorter arms. I need a long sword.
Okay. Would you like to inform the fans of where they can interact with you online?
Oh, yeah. I'm on Twitter, at Britta Phillips. And I have a website that's bare bones right now, but all will be revealed soon. It's BrittaPhillips.com. I'm on Facebook too, Britta Phillips NYC, which I know I'm in LA now, but we haven't changed that.
All right. We would like to thank Ms. Phillips for taking the time to chat with us here in the Showtime Synergy interview. We will ask you to hold the line. We'll be back after this.
This is Britta Phillips, the singing voice of Jem, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
All right, folks, we just spent the last 30 or so minutes talking with the singing voice of Jem, Britta Phillips. And now, what you didn't hear, because I had her do it off air, is Britta singing an a cappella version, a few lines from Jem and the Holograms, only the beginning.
Wow, look around at the sight and the sound. Did it take you by surprise that you can't believe your eyes? Whoa. Well, this is only the beginning, only the beginning, only the, oh, shit.
All right, we are back here on the Showtime Synergy interview of Miss Britta Phillips, and we've wrapped the interview. We got an a cappella version of Only the Beginning, and yeah, that was awesome.
Oh my gosh, that was like so cool.
I didn't even tell you I was going to ask her to do that. You
know, I wish you had video, because, man, I don't think my... smile could get any. It was like,
oh, yeah,
my inner 8-year-old was just sitting there in awe, like, oh my gosh, she's singing to me.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. super awesome. So yeah, folks, that's the interview with Britta Phillips. Coming up next, it's gonna be one or two episodes. I'm not sure which one yet. It's gonna be one, not one or two, one of two. It's either going to be our top 30 truly outrageous countdown, or it's going to be the Valentine's Day special for the comic. So it might be either or. And then obviously after that, we'll do the movie. Sometime after March will be Dark Gem Part 1 for the comic. And then probably after Dark Gem Part 1, we'll do the finale. And we'll, like I've said already before in many episodes so far in Showtime Synergy, we'll obviously still do the comic afterwards. But the overall episode 25 finale, where we reveal all the feedback and everything else, and we do our revisit of certain episodes. Oh, God, that's going to be so scary. We're all going to China, people. So.
You don't have to.
Well, have to. That's true. So there you go, folks. The interview with Britta Phillips. I didn't mention this in the actual interview with her, but she is actually the first interview for the GCRN for 2016.
Nice.
I've got a bunch of other people lined up, and hopefully at some point this year we will be able to get Patricia Alice Albright, the voice of Pizzazz. I'm hoping to get Charlie Adler, Eric Raymond, obviously, and a couple other ones as well. So who knows? We'll just have to see what the year brings us. Anything
it's
either one of you...
I was going to say, it's off to an awesome start as it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's great.
It's pretty epic, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Any one of those that you've mentioned, it'll make the year will be really amazing. So, awesome!
Yes, it will be truly outrageous.
truly outrageous.
Yes. Oh, God, I can't believe I almost sounded like Aquaman right then. Oh, God, Brave and the Bold. Jim did it better. Anyway, that's it. Show's over, Synergy. We will catch you next time. When a star's gonna climb, watch it try for the prize. We're already on the rise. Whoa, well, this is only the beginning. 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 There's music in the air. Music's in the making. Music in the air. Something. We'll be right back.